Chapter 9. Why People Go Into Space. Russian astronaut Yuri Gagarin was the first human in space. He orbited the Earth on the 12th of April 1961 in the spacecraft Vostok 1. 6 weeks later, US President John F. Kennedy said that he wanted to land a man on the moon in less than 10 years. So, the newly formed NASA started working to send astronauts into space. At that time, NASA had only 16 minutes' experience of flying in space. But now, the race to be the first on the moon had begun. In 1961, astronaut Alan Shepard became the first American in space, flying for 15 minutes without quite orbiting the Earth. The year after, John Glenn became the first NASA astronaut to orbit the Earth. NASA's Project Gemini followed, teaching astronauts how to bring two spaceships together. Astronauts also learned how to walk in space, although the first ever spacewalk was done in 1965 by Russian astronaut Alexei Leonov. However, the Americans reached the moon before the Russians. "The Eagle has landed," was the message that US astronaut Neil Armstrong sent by radio from the moon to the Earth on the 20th of July 1969. But this eagle, a large wild bird, was not actually a bird. It was the part of the spaceship that had taken astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin onto the moon while Michael Collins orbited the moon in the spaceship. Armstrong was the first person to step onto the moon. Aldrin followed him and looked around at the totally black sky, the impact craters, and the layers of dust. They quickly put rocks and dust into their pockets to take with them if they had to leave suddenly. But they stayed on the moon for almost a day, walking a kilometre on foot. This journey was one of the most important in human history. And three craters on the moon are named after the astronauts: Aldrin, Armstrong, and Collins. American astronauts landing on the moon. A total of 12 astronauts have walked on the moon. Each time, it was very dangerous for the carefully trained astronauts, who had to work very hard with the tens of thousands of people who build and manage the spaceships back on the Earth. Astronauts have brought back 381 kilograms of rocks and dust from the moon to be studied on the Earth. This has allowed scientists to better understand the moon and how it affects the Earth. After the race to be the first to land on the moon ended, many people became less interested in space. However, both the Russians and the Americans still had big plans. The Russians were working secretly on something called Almaz, which means diamond. They wanted to have a space station, a place where people could live while orbiting the Earth. They sent several space stations into space, but none lasted much more than a year. The Americans developed their own space station, Skylab, which lasted for 8 months in 1973. Skylab had a telescope on board that astronauts used to look at the sun, and they brought back special photographs. They were photographs taken of the inside of the sun, showing solar flares. These happen when parts of the sun suddenly get very bright. There were also photographs of dark spots. These are parts of the sun's surface that appear darker and not as hot. On the Earth in the 1970s, Russia and the USA were in the Cold War. This meant that they were not actually fighting, but they did not like or trust each other. However, in space, the two countries began working together. In 1975, Apollo, a US spaceship, attached itself to Soyuz, a Russian one. The American astronauts and the Russian astronauts shook hands with each other in space. The Space Shuttle was a new type of spaceship. You could fly it into space like a rocket, but bring it back down to the Earth again and land it like an aeroplane. Then it could fly back into space again and again. It could carry things as well as astronauts into space. Enterprise was the first shuttle. It was used for testing, but it could not orbit the Earth. The first US shuttle to fly in space was Columbia, launched in 1981. And the last shuttle to fly was Atlantis in July 2011. In 1986, the Russians launched the space station Mir, which means world or peace. It was the first complex large space station ever to orbit the Earth. It took 10 years to build in space, and you could do experiments on it in an almost gravity-free environment. It was about the size of a London bus, and between 3 and 6 astronauts could live in it together. Astronauts started building the International Space Station, ISS, in space in 1998. It orbits the Earth every 90 minutes and is a place where astronauts and astronomers back on the Earth from many countries work together. NASA's space shuttle, the Russian spaceship Soyuz, and automated transfer vehicles belonging to the European Space Agency, ESA, were used to take people and things to and from the ISS. Now, Russian and European rockets fly there, as well as small SpaceX and Crew Dragon spaceships called capsules. The astronauts also have a way of escaping the ISS in an emergency. But why use all that energy and do all that work just for a bit of the moon? Aren't there better things we could be doing here on the Earth? If we could move into space, it would totally change the future for humans. It could even decide whether or not we have a future at all. It will not give us the answers to the problems we have on the Earth right now, but it will help us look at them in a different way. The time has come when we need to look outwards across the universe instead of in at ourselves on this very full planet. But we will not be able to move people into space quickly. It could take hundreds or even thousands of years. We could start by having somewhere to stay on the moon in 30 years, reach Mars in 50 years, and explore the moons of the planets far away from the sun in 200 years. Reaching and exploring other planets would mean astronauts flying there, not just robots, as has happened in the past. But we are not yet sure where we can live. Astronauts have lived for months on the ISS, so we know they can live away from the Earth. But we also know that living without gravity for a long time is not very healthy. If we are to live in space for longer, it has to be on a planet or a moon. We could choose to go to the moon first because it is close, easy to get to, and we have been there before. But it is small, it has no atmosphere, and there is no liquid water on it. So maybe the moon could just be where we start our journey into the solar system. What about Mars? It is the next planet after the Earth, and not too close to the Sun. But again, there is no real atmosphere or pressure anymore, and the water is in ice form. Could we use this to live? NASA astronomers think that in the summer months, water on Mars flows down craters before disappearing when the temperature falls in the autumn. But we do not understand where this water comes from yet. It could come from under the ground or from the atmosphere on Mars. But it would take about 200 days to get to Mars without stopping on the way. It would be too far for extra food or water to be sent to astronauts. There would be no phone calls home, and even an email could take more than 20 minutes to reach them. There would be no TV to stop them from getting bored, only recorded books, films, and TV shows. Every day they would have to cook, clean, grow food, look after the spaceship, record videos for students back home, and do experiments inside and outside the spaceship. They would have to wear a spacesuit to breathe outside the spaceship, and washing would be difficult because there would be so little water. They would miss friends, family, favourite foods, warm showers, and fresh air. So could we really travel to and live on Mars? Mercury and Venus are too hot to live on, while Jupiter and Saturn are gas giants, so they do not have a solid surface to live on. As for Uranus or Neptune, they are just too cold and too far away, and you could not live on them because, like Jupiter and Saturn, they have no solid surfaces. We could try the moons of Mars, but they are very small. Some of the moons of Jupiter and Saturn might be better. For example, Saturn's moon Titan is larger than our moon and has a dense atmosphere, so that is a possible place. But we know it is very cold because it is so far from the Sun, and it has liquid gas on it, so maybe it is not possible. What about places outside our solar system? There are quite a few planets the size of Jupiter or Saturn. But now we have found some smaller Earth-like planets too, which lie in the Goldilocks zone of their star systems. They could have water on their surfaces. There are maybe 1,000 stars nearer than 10 light years to the Earth. If just 1% of these have an Earth-sized planet in the Goldilocks zone, there are 10 possible new worlds out there. But for now, we cannot travel very far across the universe. We cannot imagine how we could travel so far, but that is what we could try to do in the next 200 to 500 years. Once you get there, what is it actually like in space? Almost everyone dreams of going into space at some point in their lives. Sadly, most people stop dreaming about it when they discover how hard it is to do. But more people can do it now than in the past, thanks to private companies that are flying people into space and to the ISS. It is hard work getting ready to go into space. you have to learn how to fly a spaceship, about air pressure and gases in space, and how to use a radio on a spaceship. When the spaceship finally takes off, it is not as loud as you might imagine. For about 8 minutes, you feel about 3 times the force of gravity before the engines turn off. Then you are moving in zero gravity in the orbit around the Earth. If you are flying to the ISS, you actually stay quite close to the Earth, and you can see the Earth below you if you look out of the window. At the same time, you are near to the Earth, but in a totally different world from the people on its surface. You and the other people on board the spaceship must immediately manage any emergency. So you have to work well alone and as part of a group, with very little help from the Earth. When orbiting the Earth on the ISS, you are travelling at 27,690 kilometres per hour. So you go all the way around our planet about every 90 minutes. That means you see the sun rise and go down every 45 minutes, and you cross countries very quickly. But you are still close enough to the Earth to see famous things like the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. One of the first things you notice about the Earth from space is its weather. A lot of the Earth is always covered by clouds. The next thing you notice is how beautiful the deserts of the Earth are, as they are not usually covered by clouds. And you can see how the winds affect sand and snow on the Earth. It is also clear that humans live on the whole surface of the Earth. There are hardly any empty spaces left on it. Every desert has roads across it, and often there are farms in deserts too, getting water from under the ground. Every forest has roads and cities in it, in the Amazon forest too. Every group of mountains has roads through it, and rivers have walls to control where they flow. It is a bit like watching a film, which makes you realise just how small and in danger the Earth really is. Many astronauts have this feeling when they see the Earth from space. The experience changes them. It is called the overview effect.